It's time now for Wagoner's Walk. Although it was Rob Pengelly's night off, he still walked Sophie Richmond up to the restaurant. Nearly there.
So good of you, Rob.
Can you stop saying that?
Well, I'm trekking out in the cold and dark on your free evening.
I don't mind.
Well, I think it's very gallant of you.
I'm beginning to wish I'd let you go on your own.
I'm going to have to face it one day.
When you're good and ready, not before.
It's funny. It hits me in waves.
Yeah?
Sometimes I feel quite normal again. As if I could go out and face the whole world. And then some little thing sets me off and I start to get the shakes.
Natural.
Happened on the train over Christmas.
What?
Well, Lynn saw me to the station. We found a carriage full of respectable-looking women reading Country Life.
Mm.
And then this man got on. He kept looking at me. Or I imagined he did. I tried to concentrate on the view outside, but all the time I could see his reflection in the window. By the time I reached Salisbury, I was a complete wreck.
Did you tell your parents?
No. And it was so Christmassy down there. All holly and Hark the Herald. I could never find the right moment.
I can imagine.
Oh, if there ever is a right moment to tell your parents that their little girl's been raped and that it's going to be dragged through the courts, I suppose I'll break it to them when the case comes up.
It's never easy.
Oh. You're not keeping some ghastly secret from your mother, are you?
No. My mother's dead.
Oh, yes, sorry.
She died 2 years ago with all her illusions still intact.
She'd be very proud of you now, Rob.
Oh, I guess so.
Well, it's not bad at your age. Assistant manager at Pryor's. I don't know how you've done it. Must be all that hard work and clean living.
Must be. Look, the light's on. Oh. Someone's beaten us to it.
Oh, it's Lynn.
After you.
You don't have to come in.
Oh, yes, I do. I want to borrow some fillet steak.
Oh, so it wasn't just old world gallantry after all. I might have known.
Oh, Peter, it's you.
Oh, hello, Matt. I was beginning to wonder if anyone was in.
I'm not an Olympic sprinter, you know.
I hope this isn't a bad time.
Well, you've missed Lynn. She just left for work.
Oh.
Why didn't you phone?
I thought you'd probably be taking the evening off.
Why?
Well, because it's Jeremy's last evening before he goes back to school.
Well, you'll still be living here, though.
Yes.
And it's Rob's night off, so she has to go in. Don't just hang about. Come on in.
Oh, thanks.
Get all the cold air into the house.
I won't stay long. Just wanted to drop this in. It's Jeremy's duffel coat. I forgot to put it in with the other things.
Oh, shove it on the stand.
Right. How's he been about it?
What?
Jeremy, about going back to school.
Why? What?
Well, I just thought perhaps there'd be a touch of second termitis, you know.
Can't say I do.
Well, same pressures as last term, without the sense of occasion. Anyway, if I could just say a quick hello, wish him luck. He's up in his room, is he?
No. He's having a bath with Alexis.
He's what?
It was only a joke. Yes, well, Lynn's always telling me I've got a rotten sense of humour.
Jeremy spends a lot of time with Alexis, doesn't he?
You need have no worries where Alexis is concerned. He and Rob are just like big brothers to Jeremy.
Big brothers are not necessarily the best influences.
Oh, you think he's got a mixed sauna up there, do you? Yeah, come to think of it, I did see a large Swedish blonde going up the stairs a moment ago.
I don't find it very funny, Matt, and I do have reservations about Alexis.
Oh, I know. It's the gambling again, isn't it? Oh, my God, yes, we want to watch that. Jeremy won another dozen tiddlywinks tonight. Next thing, he'll be running a poker school in the bog at Wycliffe's.
I can see it's no use discussing it with you.
Peter, I'm only being flip because it's so bloody ridiculous. You honestly think we'd let him fall under a bad influence? Lynn cares about him just as much as you do.
Yes, I know she does. But now he's likely to be here a lot longer than I originally thought. You must admit the setup here is very different from what he's used to at Minden Road.
And I'd say that was all for the good. Just that Jeremy's lucky enough to have some variety in his life. And he'll grow up the better for it.
Well, let's hope you're right.
You're not losing him. He may be staying with us longer than you reckon. But you'll get shot of your father sooner or later.
Let's hope you're right about that, too. How's that for a piece of steak, Dickon? Looks fabulous. Beat scrambled eggs any day.
Eh?
Well, I tried to cook some for Debbie when I was over there last night.
Ah.
Tried to do it your way. I don't have the magic touch. Are you sure you didn't have to pay for that steak, Rob?
I told you, I'll get my meals free. One of the perks.
Yeah, but not your flatmate's meals, too.
Some nights I'm too busy to eat. Cancels it out. Yeah. Don't worry, I wouldn't do the Pryors. Not like I used to do the guy who owned the last place I worked in. He was so tight-fisted, his knuckles were luminous.
You like the Pryors, don't you?
Yeah. Matt and I get across each other sometimes. But it's only because we're alike.
Who says?
Lynn says I could be his son. Do you know, he even looks a bit like my old make-believe father.
The one who played football for Exeter?
Yeah, that's him. You know, it's uncanny. Matt was quite a footballer himself before the accident.
What happened to him?
Plane crash. His legs are paralysed.
Poor devil.
No wonder he gets frustrated at times. I would too.
Can I do anything?
Well, you could open the wine. There's a bottle of Medoc on the table.
Oh, yeah.
It was a late Christmas present from a grateful customer.
I'm in the wrong job.
Well, you might as well have a glass to be going home with.
Oh, hell.
I'll leave it, Dickon.
They'll see the light on up here. I'd better find out who it is.
We don't want to keep the meal.
Don't worry, my mouth's watering already. It's Debbie.
Oh.
I'm afraid I had to ask her up. She's in the sitting room. She wants to talk to me about something.
Not now, Dickon.
Well, she said it wouldn't take long.
Couldn't it wait until tomorrow?
She was so depressed yesterday, I didn't want to turn her away.
There's always something, isn't there? The food will be ruined.
Well, it can wait half an hour, can't it? Surely. You haven't even started cooking yet.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Give her a glass of wine.
Peter's still not back?
No.
I thought I heard you talking to someone.
I was on the phone.
No more than half an hour, I thought he said.
Oh, I expect he stayed on to see Jeremy.
I hope the supper won't spoil.
No, he did a casserole. I've turned the oven down. But if you'd sooner start yours now, Arthur.
And put you to the trouble of serving it all up twice. I'm enough of a nuisance already.
Oh, it's no trouble. If you're hungry...
I'll just sit here and wait. Ignore me if you're working.
I was only scribbling down a few notes. That was Diana Austin on the telephone.
Your predecessor at the Herald.
That's right. She had an idea for my mother and daughter series. Does the name Monica Ridley mean anything to you?
You mean the Monica Ridley?
Ah, it does.
The one who wrote all those schoolgirl yarns back in my youth?
That's right. Polly Pride, Captain of the Hoot. Are you a secret fan?
Oh, scarcely. Westerman and Henty were my poison. But my late wife collected all the Polly Pride books.
Oh, my mother did, too.
In fact, she was set on calling Peter Polly.
Glad she didn't.
Had he been a girl? Though some might say it would suit him admirably in his current role.
But we'd know how wrong they were, wouldn't we?
So you're planning to interview the daughter, are you?
Yes, Diana says she lives in Hampstead.
Isn't she a celebrity of some sort, too? That pushy female who's always on television panels and chairing government committees got a title.
Lady Sylvia Thackeray.
Oh, that's the one. I remember seeing photographs of her as a girl with her mother. Something of a social butterfly. Wasn't Polly Pride supposed to have been modelled on her?
Ah, this is the other daughter.
No, there was another.
Well, neither did I. Nor, according to Diana Austin, do most people. Apparently she's a bit of a recluse.
I wonder why that is.
So do I.
The mother's dead now, presumably. Like most of my contemporaries.
She died about a year ago. Still writing away at 80-odd.
Fortunate woman. Oh, to go out with a bang instead of an elongated whimper. Is there any sherry, by the way?
Oh, so pull up them stairs to your flat. Remind me not to visit you again till I'm rid of this lot.
I wouldn't have hurried you, only I didn't think you'd want to hang about in the hall.
Oh, dead right I wouldn't. Be just my luck to bump into Cliff. Or her.
superior plumpness, isn't it?
Courtesy of Rob.
Oh, I didn't think he liked me.
What was he wanted to talk about?
Well, I made a decision. I wanted to tell you before you heard it from Liz Warner.
What?
I've decided not to keep the baby. Don't try and talk me out of it. You'd be wasting your breath. I'm going down to the Social Security tomorrow, just for a change. I'm going to ask them to place it for adoption.
When did you decide?
Liz came round earlier with a whole pile of baby stuff. You put her up to it, didn't you?
No. Well, I did ask if she could give you a word of advice.
Yeah. Well, that did it. Suddenly, I knew I wasn't going to have any use for baby clothes.
Are you sure, Daddy?
You want reasons?
It could just be that things have got too much for you.
Or it could be that I'm not cut out for motherhood. Not under these circumstances, anyway.
How can you tell?
I can tell! I never wanted to go through with it in the first place. I wanted to have it terminated. I let you talk me out of it. I'm not saying I've got any regrets about that. I didn't relish the thought of an abortion. Well, neither do I relish the thought of dragging through life with that round me neck. I'm not like Carol. I can't just let it all flow over me. I want a life of my own. I want a career. I was doing well at the Herald.
You'll be back.
Maybe.
You'll have to keep your job open.
And how will I manage with a small baby?
Liz manages with several.
Liz has got a fella who looks after the kids, and she still has problems. I can just see what it'll be. One long headache about nursery places and childminders. Trying to work at home. Consuming I've got a home. Nights with all that endless crying and coping with nappies and rashes and teething. It's just not my scene, Dickon.
So, you asked him in for a drink?
Well, I felt quite sorry for him.
He actually admitted that Arthur was there to stay.
Looks like it.
Struck me that he might move back into Kane House with George Underdown again.
It had occurred to Peter, too. But old George spanked that one.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame, she says, turning the light off to conceal the gleam in her eye.
I know it's awful, and I shouldn't feel glad when it's at Peter's expense. But it is nice, isn't it, to think Jeremy will be with us indefinitely.
Looks like it.
You don't mind, do you, Matt?
Well, I'd sooner have him than Sophie.
No, but really?
Of course not. He's a great kid. And he's coming on fast and all.
Isn't he?
And don't tell me it's that school either.
Oh, I think it's partly Whitehouse.
And partly us. It's him getting away from that household full of girls. Like I told Peter, Rob and Alexis are like big brothers to him.
Yes, they are, aren't they? Especially Rob. When the three of you are together, you could easily be one family.
Well, Alexis will be a bit difficult to explain.
Your Greek phase. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? In the summer. To take Jeremy to Katsos. Brad and Mother would be thrilled.
Yeah. I could take Rod too, maybe. I suppose he's been abroad.
Oh, and what happens to the restaurant?
Bill and Sophie could cope for a couple of weeks.
I think it's a marvellous idea.
So, let's not jump the gun. Summer's a long way off.
Well, I'm certainly going ahead with the cork tiles anyway.
The what?
I'm going to order some cork tiles for one of the walls in Jeremy's room, so he can stick up all the posters and drawings.
No harm in that.
Didn't seem worth it when he was only here for a couple of weeks. But now I can really make it his room. Oh, Matt, I'm so happy.
And you can hear the next episode of Wagoner's Walk tomorrow afternoon at 5:05 here on Radio 2. Meanwhile, there's another chance to hear this episode tomorrow at 12:15. The first omnibus edition of Wagoner's Walk can be heard on Sunday, on Radio 2, of course, at 5:02. And this is Radio 2. It's just after 5:20.
Radio 2. John Dunn. Ha 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 ha.
Rum, rum.
Hello again. Good afternoon. Welcome. Blashers is back. He'll be my first guest this afternoon. He'll also be investigating optical fibers, who does the gardening, and meeting a 93-year-old editor. Just got promotion, too. Let's start with today's birthday boy, shall we?